you, Kermit. I really got a kick out of it.
Did someone say kick out of it?
Crazy Harry, you're not supposed to set one of those off if somebody says just anything.
Did someone say just anything?
You are listening to Muppets in Character, the podcast that hitches a ride on the psychedelic Studebaker and takes a trip back through the years to reintroduce ourselves to some of Jim Henson's wondrous Muppet characters. Histories, backstories, details, and memories of some of our favorite Muppets. And now, here are this week's panelists of Muppets in Character. This is Muppets in Character, Season 1, Episode 5, and this episode we are talking about Crazy Harry. My name is Matt, and joining me once again are my sister Karen.
Hello.
And my wife Christy. Okay, so Crazy Harry. Now, I assume this is a character everyone knows, but in case it's not, I'll give a quick summary who he is. He is, of course, well, again, if you don't know, it's not of course to you, but he is the Muppet that was the shaggy-haired, kind of wild-eyed guy. I guess it was one of the first human-ish characters, or if not human characters we talked about, isn't it?
Yeah, kind
of. Yeah, because he is a human. He's just a little nuts, so he's kind of a caricature of himself. And but he walks around with one of those dynamite plungers and is blowing stuff up. I mean, that's pretty much what he does. I kind of did it to myself again. I found a character that's kind of done one thing over and over again, but pretty much everyone knows him, but honestly, after going through this research, that's really all he seems to do. But I did go through his whole career and picked out some highlights. Now, as far as the look, again, to finish off that summary, he's got kind of the crazy beard, the black hair, and he always seems to, I don't know if it is a military jacket, but it always makes me think he's wearing a military jacket, issued jacket, because it's got that army green color.
You know, I have to say, in looking at him and watching as much reality TV as we have lately, I have to say he makes me think of an Amish guy who's left, or he's part of the Amish mafia without the hat. Because he's got the beard, but no mustache.
Okay, sure. All right. I see what you're saying. I always thought of him, and really, I mean, always, even as a child and still seeing him today, when I see him, I think Fidel Castro, weird as that sounds. Oh.
Okay.
Because of the dark beard and that military green jacket.
Okay, I can kind of see that.
So that's my long and short of him. Now, going on to his career in the Muppets. So here we go. Let's see how much we can pull out of a guy that blows stuff up and laughs. So he's officially recognized as the Muppet Show pyrotechnic expert.
I didn't know they had to have a pyrotechnic.
Well, that's what he's listed not only in Muppet Wiki, but Wikipedia as a pyrotechnic expert.
Okay. Though
apparently, I wouldn't say he's that talented because the pyrotechnic experts, as far as I'm aware, design fireworks shows and whatnot, and he just has the same bomb over and over again. But he did have a second role, and he was a member of the Muppet Orchestra during the opening and closing of some of the later seasons. Now, here's the first question of our ongoing trivia for this episode. What instrument did he play?
He played the triangle.
Is that your guess or you know that for a fact?
I know that for a fact.
You're right. What did you do, look that up?
Well, when we were watching the clips, I saw that.
You saw that. Okay. Yeah. So, yes, he did play the triangle, which is just a funny bit because it's a complete 180 to what he's usually doing.
Ding.
Yeah, it's like the most timid instrument you can hand him, and I'm sure that was by design. So moving on now to his actual first appearance is not with the Muppet Show, but I'll get into that later because it actually fit better into my notes to talk about later. So I'm going to start right off with his time at the Muppet Show. And he was a first seasoner. He was in the opening season of the Muppet Show, first season, third episode, so really early on. And he was part of the opening number called Comedy Tonight. And that was I don't want to say dark because I don't mean dark. It was darkly lit, but it was done by the ominous. It was done by the more scary
Frackles.
They were done by the Frackles, but they were done. It was essentially monsters and scary whatnots.
and singing, criminals.
And criminals singing Comedy Tonight. Basically, again, a 180 from what they're performing. The performers were a complete opposite of what they were performing. So part of the joke. And Crazy Harry was part of that. And that's the first time on The Muppet Show we get to hear his trademark explosion followed by his laugh. And I have just that clip from the song. I'll play it real quick.
Situation, no complications.
Nothing portentous or polite.
Ready tomorrow, Comedy Tonight.
So there we go. We saw the explosion, heard a line of the song, and he laughed. So now what I've been noting for these episodes was what I originally called Gonzo's horn gag, but not knowing when I named it that it was actually going to be a gong gag in the first season. So his gong gag in this episode is that he swings and misses.
Oh, just he hits it with his face, doesn't he?
No, not this episode. It's a later episode. This one, he takes a full out swing, misses, and falls over. We don't even hear a gong.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Now moving on, he makes a couple appearances in the first season, and just seven episodes later, in the 10th episode, he shows up again. Now, it's funny, this being his only second episode, he gets foiled doing what his trademark routine is. So it's kind of strange to foil him so early on in his career. But I do have that clip. So here's Crazy Harry trying to blow something up and laugh, but it goes a little different, as you'll hear.
Well, that's better than opening it with a bang.
Did somebody say bang?
No!
Well, you can't win them all.
So, did you say aw?
Yeah.
Oh, you felt bad for poor Harry?
I did.
You felt bad someone didn't get dangerously blown up?
That's all he's got is blowing people up.
Well, that's true. All right. If you're thinking for Harry himself, you're right. It is pretty upsetting. Oh, he seemed pretty happy about it.
Yeah.
You win some, you lose some. He's okay with it. Or not. Well, you know what, though? He makes up for it. Because going into my notes here, he gets a couple of jokes off here when the Sandy Duncan episode, the number 14 episode of, again, the first season, he gets a shot at doing not only his normal routine, but doing it, well, a couple times. It all stems from some poorly chosen words by Kermit. So here's the first part of that bit.
And so that means our show tonight should be a real bang-up affair.
Did somebody say bang?
No.
Now, to explain the visual leading to the second joke, Kermit actually gets blown off of the stage into Statler and Waldorf's theater seats, takes a little look around, and continues his bad choice of words in this clip.
In any event, let's start off the show with a musical number that was staged by our own Gopher Scooter. It could be a bomb, but...
Did somebody say bomb?
Oh, no!
Now, at this point, Kermit completely disappears and Fozzie takes over and finally get the start of the show.
I think you probably got the clip later where he doesn't even need it. He's just taking it off of any word that's said.
No, I actually don't. You know why? Because at this point, it's almost too repetitive. I mean, it's not the same as where... Now, Manamana, okay, I played, I don't know, four or five clips of the song, but they were different situations. This is the same thing
over
and over again. So I stopped pulling clips of this joke. And the one you're talking about, I do have a note that it happened, was the Ben Vereen introduction. And I think they did it like three, maybe even four times.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't bother doing it again because we're going to be doing the same joke again and again. I kind of moved on and tried to pick up some different things that he did in his time on The Muppet Show. So is not only the Ben Vereen one, but the next appearance, the same thing. It's a somebody said, did somebody say something explosion? So I jumped right into the second season now. Second episode of the second season of The Muppet Show was Zero Mostel. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Who is he? He's an opera singer?
No, he was on Broadway. He was in the original production of Fiddler on the Roof. He was the original Fiddler.
Oh, okay.
And he was in the movie.
It's fun. No.
In the producers.
You know what's sad? I immediately thought of Garth Brooks when you said that because he did Fiddler on the Roof in Muppets Tonight. And he was kicking chickens off the roof, if I remember right.
He was in the other day when we were watching the producers. He's the Max Bialystock.
I don't know that.
The Nathan
that means.
Lane part.
Oh, okay. I know who Nathan Lane is. He was in Lion King. So, well, anyway, moving on. Second season. Now, this I picked out because for two reasons. One, it's okay. We get a Crazy Harry blow someone up joke, but it's in something that we've rarely talked about. Being halfway through our first series of this podcast, we have not talked much about the At the Dance sketch. Right. Now, so I was really excited to talk about this, and I was going to pull the whole thing of this so we could play a whole At the Dance sketch, but this one, of course, you know, as luck would have it, is entirely made up of visual jokes. Ooh, it's a tennis-themed run of gags.
Yeah.
So I did write down what the gags were because I had to explain them, and maybe explaining them won't even be funny, but I'll run through them real quick. First joke is, how's your forehand? It says, they're terrific, and he holds up four hands.
Yes.
Next one says, you watched six tennis matches today. How do you feel? Partner turns around, and his eyes are the, I don't know what you call the opposite of cross-eyed, wall-eyed?
Wall-eyed, yeah.
Wall-eyed. So, so that's that visual joke. Two tennis balls come dancing by. One asks, what did you do today? The other one says, I spent my day in court. And then the final joke, which includes Crazy Harry, finally, is... two dancers, the woman says, my tennis instructor says I use too small of a racket. Her partner says, why don't you get a big racket? Up pops Harry with his trademark, did someone say big racket? And boom, an end of sketch. So we finally get to have an extended conversation about the At the Dance sketch, but I can't play you any clips because they don't make any sense without seeing what's going on.
Nope.
So now I gotta move on to the next appearance, but... Again, where the Muppets take away, they give back because his next appearance is another At the Dance sketch. And this one I can play almost the whole thing of. I skip like the first joke or two because they don't lead up to a string of jokes which comes up. And I can set the stage for you here. Animal's dancing with this blonde wigged whatnot. I don't even think I've ever seen this combination of character again in my life. Doesn't even have eyes. She's got her arms wrapped around him, almost twice around him, so tight. And this is where this clip I'm playing picks up, right from that description.
Tell me if I'm holding you too tight. I say, tell me if I'm holding you too tight. Now you tell me.
Oh, look at that. You should call him a doctor.
Okay, you're a doctor. excuse me.
Will you stop trying to cut in?
Let's the quickest way out of here.
Through the roof.
He sounds different in every single. I think he's done by somebody different.
Well,
or they have a cold, or I don't know.
It's the only two official Muppeteers that are listed for him are Jerry Nelson through the Muppet Show and now Matt Vogel. But that's not. I'm not going to disagree with that. I think you might be right. I think this might be a Miss Piggy situation where the first few performers of Miss Piggy just could not find the voice until Jerry got a hold of it. Now Jerry's the only one credited with it because I don't think you can find who did Miss Piggy the first three or four times around. Remember that went through several ones? So I think you might be right. I don't have any verification of that other than the fact that you're right. He sounds different.
Sounds very different than every single one. And this is still first season, isn't it?
Second.
Oh, this is the second season? Yep. Piggy still had the weird eyes in the second season? She had the smaller eyes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, not the angry eyes. I was thinking not the angry eyes,
but
that,
like creepy smaller eyes, where she didn't really look like Miss Piggy all the way.
Right.
That threw me off.
Okay.
I just want to make a comment about Piggy eyes.
What I thought was interesting about this clip, listening to it again, and I think it was in my mind a little bit while pulling it, is that the three of the performers three of the voices in that are Frank Oz.
Yeah.
Animal was Piggy, and the woman that's dancing. I don't know who the woman dancing with Animal is, but that's Frank Oz. That's one of Frank Oz's general voices.
Yeah.
There's no mistaking it. So that's kind of funny.
Tell me if I'm holding you too tight.
He sounded like that's the same voice you used for the witch doctor in your Marvin Suggs episode. I told you not to tell anyone.
It's Frank Oz.
No, it was Jerry Nelson was the witch doctor.
Hi, hi, hi.
Anyway.
Poof.
So we finally get our at the dance moment in the spot, or at the dance spotlight finally, which I can't believe we hadn't had that. I can't believe it took us to 4 episodes to get the pigs in space as well, but we finally got those under our belt now. So moving on again, I mean, it's just I don't want to call him a one-trick pony, but that's the best way to describe him, because it's the same thing again. It's you know, someone says something and he comes out and repeats it and blows it up. But he is memorable. I mean, for having the same gag repeated several times, again, I think just about everyone knows who he is. But some little twist on that is the Judy Collins introduction. Scooter does the, you know, 15 minutes till curtain, Miss Collins, and she says, thank you, I'm ready for anything. And then, boom, an explosion comes out, and out comes Crazy Harry from seemingly nowhere, says, you weren't ready for that, and then runs off. So a little bit of a twist, but still same type of deal. In episode 221, which is with Bob Hope, he shows up and spoils Gonzo's trumpet bit.
Oh,
so yeah, so
ties
this,
in your two things, ties in your bit and your character.
So you can, you know, pretty much imagine what happens as soon as Gonzo goes to blow his trumpet. Something explodes and there's Crazy Harry pops up and laughs again. Didn't pull the clip because we've already heard that 3 times in this episode. We're only 15 minutes into it. Now, here was an interesting use of the character. Now, I couldn't pull a clip for this because Harry didn't say anything. In fact, I don't even think this was necessarily even performed by Jerry Nelson. I think someone was just holding the Muppet. In the John Cleese episode, again, at the end of season 2, Gonzo is performing a stunt where he's going to attempt to catch a cannonball fired from a cannon with his bare hands. And he introduces his lovely assistant, Harry, who's going to light the cannon. He doesn't say a word. He lights the cannon. That's all we see of him. But at least we're using or seeing Crazy Harry being used a little bit out of his norm.
Used for something other than just random blowing up itch.
Now, you know, and I don't, it really sounds like I'm complaining about it. I'm not. It's a great way to end a scene that you don't really have a button for or have a real ending, or you need to end earlier than would allow. A great use and a great character to have for that. I'm not complaining about him. It's just a very difficult one to have centered an episode around, because that's 80% of what he's done every time we've seen him.
It's kind of like, when in doubt, blow it up.
Pretty much. And having the same character do it adds a little bit of comic flair to it in a sense, because he'll show up when you're not expecting him, but at least you recognize him, so you know what's going to happen. So there's some familiarity to it as well. But moving on, forging ahead, because there are some things he doesn't always do the same too. So, and this is not an example, I just realized, but I'll say it anyway.
He does it, but just not
I know,
right
it's like, as I'm saying it, I'm like, don't say it with this being the same thing. And it sort of kind of is. Now we're into the 3rd season, and Leo Sayer is performing When I Need You, which
I
can't.
When I need
you. You know, it's funny, I had no recollection of this sketch. And it's probably because I never watched it. Yeah, because I can't listen to you doing it now. I couldn't watch it as a kid. I couldn't watch it as a 40-year-old.
I don't remember him doing that one, but I remember him doing You Make Me Feel Like Dancing later.
Okay.
You got that break.
They tried to put a spin to it to keep you interested, because he sang it while holding onto a tree. Because he was singing it to woodland animals who were all now falling for him and chasing him and chasing him up the tree. So now he's hanging in the tree, continuing to sing the song. Now, it does get a little funny here, because the animals try to get him down from the tree. And it's one of those things, and Muppets are good at this, where it escalates and gets a little more obscure each time. So the first thing is a beaver starts chewing on a tree. Completely normal. Okay. Then a woodpecker. A little bit of funny. Then a bear starts clawing at it, but that doesn't work. So then he picks up a sawfish and starts sawing at the tree with the sawfish. And that actually made me laugh. Eventually, none of this works. So Harry comes out, blows it up, brings Leo Sayer in the tree to the ground. And we don't see Harry anymore. He just came out he's like,
he has a purpose. Yep, he fulfills it. He leaves.
And we're going to fix it. Now, I do have to say, at this point in my notes, it finally dawned on me, when, where, and how does Harry pre-plan these explosives, because he always seems to have the right explosive at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, it's Muppet magic.
Still, you know,
he's very, he's like a Boy Scout. He's always prepared.
So Yeah. Anyway, I never did think of an answer for that. So up until this point, you know, Harry is pretty much, with some exceptions and twists here and there, he's pretty much done the same thing. He's shown up, blown something up, and left. He's never really had his own scene or his own moment in the sun. Well, we finally get to the sixth season of the third episode, and mind you, Harry's been on the show since the third episode of the first season. We get to the episode with the guest star, Gene Stapleton, which everyone probably knows, or, well, maybe not so much these days, but definitely in our generations, Edith Bunker from All in the Family. Mm-hmm. So she's the guest star, and she is going over what to do for the closing number with Kermit. So I have that clip here.
I'll tell you what I'd really like to do.
What's that?
Another duet with my favorite Muppet.
Oh, well, that's very nice. That's a delightful idea.
Oh, good, good. Now, where's Crazy Harry?
Where's Crazy Harry? That's suicidal.
You are, you cute thing.
Gene, I don't know what you're planning to do, but whatever it is not safe.
Oh, no, this is a wonderful idea.
It's a musical number.
Yeah.
A musical number?
Yes, yes.
So that intro actually went on a little bit longer, and maybe even without the additional information, this is certainly the most we've ever heard Harry talk.
Definitely.
Or say complete sentences for that matter.
Yeah.
So they are performing a musical number together, as you just heard. Now, Gene Stapleton is going to be the one singing, and Harry is going to be playing his second instrument other than the triangle. Now, here's the next question. What instrument is he playing?
Christy.
Go ahead.
Is it the explodophone?
It is the explodophone. Oh, Karen, you're not doing so hot in this episode.
I am.
Okay, so the song is I'm Just Wild About Harry. What a great way to finally tie this character into something, I guess.
It's a perfect song.
Yeah, exactly. And as you'd probably expect, Harry is strategically sending off explosions as it's going on to the song. And I actually have just a clip of that. She performs, I think, almost the entire song, but I got just the first couple of stanzas to play here.
I'm just wild about Harry.
I thought that little thing in her hair was going to catch fire.
Yeah. Well, I think it does blow at the very end. At the closing when when they're all on stage.
At the very end.
I think he blows it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
That, okay.
But you say that, you mentioned that now, this happens throughout the song, and then the finale is like a chorus of explosions and the set's destroyed. Now, I guess these are generally flash pots, but still, this is some degree of pyrotechnics that she is inches, it seems, or
yeah,
at the very most, feet away from. This is another one of those dangerous, you know, mid-70s safety, throw safety and caution to the wind, just do it. Things going on here because, all right, they're flash pots, but these things are burning for minutes after they go off. So there is some element of danger in these things. This is a very dangerous scene.
And yeah, she definitely could have had a very Michael Jackson moment on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. And that, I mean, I just love the fact that this stuff just was not even, no one even thought anything of it back then.
Yeah.
Left covers off our outlets and let our children run around without seatbelts.
This is before Mr. Yuck stickers.
Yeah.
All right, Karen, we're going to give you a chance. We're going to let you go first. Oh, no, actually, I'll let you go second. Then you take the over and under. This is your chance to get on the board. This is the closest to the pin question. How many explosions went off during this song? So, Christy, give us a number.
25.
Okay, Karen?
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say 28 then.
You don't know how to play closest to the pin.
Apparently.
You should have went 26 because the answer is 26.
Oh.
So Christy wins because she's one off and you're three off.
Oh.
Or two off. There's still more questions, Karen. You got a chance. But Christy's really in the lead.
She stole my answer.
I didn't steal it from your brain.
Anyway. Well, Harry had one last appearance in the third season. There's a little bit of fun in this scene. I didn't pull the audio, but there's a little bit of the play on the name Harry rather than him being blowing something up. It's the episode where Harry Belafonte is the guest star, and Scooter comes to check on him, and Harry says, you know, it's okay, but I'm already getting heckled. Somebody said, don't go in there. Crazy Harry's inside. And lo and behold, Crazy Harry himself was inside the dressing room, and they were not talking about Harry Belafonte himself. So, you know, not the strongest joke, but at least an appearance of him that didn't involve something blowing up, at least not that I wrote down. I'm sure somewhere along the line it did, but I missed it.
I don't recall it. It may have been an explosion-free episode.
Okay. Well, I doubt that. I'm sure somewhere there was an explosion, maybe not caused by Harry. So moving on into the fourth season, Harry appears in one of the most memorable musical numbers from the series. I remember this every time I hear the song, I think of this scene. And it is the multinational battlefield of soldiers, Romans, Indians, cowboys, etc., singing Why Can't We Be Friends, with explosions going over everywhere between cannons and gunfire and tanks and mortar shells. And of course, why not just have Harry cross from right to left in the screen, blow something up? And really, that's all I think he kind of really does. But we can't not have a scene full of explosions and not have Harry in it.
And then he's at the kick line at the end.
He is at the kick line.
Non-kicking kick line.
Yeah. It's funny. I watched that too, waiting to see some Muppet legs kick, but never did happen. They just kind of shifted left to right.
Oh.
They just lift their heads back like when they're supposed to kick back, but nothing comes flying forward. Mm-hmm. So funny. It's like, you can't really call it a kick line if there's no legs.
Then we... we don't see Harry, or at least to the point that I noted, until season 5, the last season of The Muppet Show. And we do see a different version of his gag. And it's a bit of a prank, I guess you'd say. A dangerous prank if this were real life people, but a prank nonetheless. And it's something else I don't think we've talked about yet. It's during a Muppet newscast.
Nope, we haven't.
Segment. So, to set this stage, the Muppet Theater is experiencing a power outage, and it's time for the Muppet newscaster to give his Muppet news flash, and he's having a hard time seeing, and Harry helps him out. So I'll play that clip here.
Here is a Muppet news flash. It's too dark in here to read the news, boy. Can we have a bigger candle, please? Oh, thank you very much. That's much better. With the discovery of gold, local residents are expecting a boom.
I laughed at it. That's funny.
He did that rapid.
Yeah, so that's another Muppet trademark. We haven't actually had that in any of our clips in 5 episodes until now. The rapid runaway. It's like they don't even bother bouncing them up and down like they're running. They just swoop them off stage and add that sound effect. Yep. So that's it for his time with The Muppet Show. Now he's been in some movies and specials, and we're going to kind of go backwards here and talk about, not really talk about, just mention The Muppets Valentine's Show, which is a special that was done before The Muppet Show. And this is the first appearance of Crazy Harry at the Muppets ever, even before The Muppet Show. And I just watched this minutes before we started recording today, and he shows up, blows something up. If he laughed, I didn't hear it. So I think it was just he shows up, blows something up, walks away. I mean, that's pretty much how he started, and that's pretty much how he ends.
That's his MO.
Yeah. Yep. He did appear in the original Muppet Show pilot episode. Again, the same type of deal. He was in the 2005 TV movie The Muppets Wizard of Oz, and he played an Oz creature. So here's your next question. Karen, I'm rooting for you. What Oz creature did Crazy Harry play?
What could he play? A flying monkey?
Yep. You got it. You're finally on the board. He did. He played a flying monkey.
Yay.
Yep. This is kind of the... any Muppet that would be considered a bad guy or a look like a bad guy, this was their scene. If they weren't written in anywhere else in it, they were a flying monkey. And he was one of them, obviously.
I try to block out the Muppet.
How do you not like that? That is a Pepe showcase.
I like parts of it.
With Pepe as Toto, he is in every scene that Dorothy's in. How can you not like that?
I don't dislike his scenes. I just... I Just the rest of it. I'm just not a big fan of the Dorothy.
The Dorothy doesn't bother me. I don't like when the Muppets are, they're kind of hybrid. I didn't like the Gonzo Tin Man. I didn't like Fozzie Bear being a lion. I didn't necessarily, Kermit as a scarecrow is about the only one that wasn't distracting. But I didn't dislike it. I mean, Pepe stole the show on that one.
I know.
Unless if you don't like Pepe, then you got a problem with it. But that's why I'm surprised why you don't.
I don't know what it is. I just don't care for it very much.
That's fine.
Of his many vehicles, not one of my favorite.
Okay, well, you're entitled to your opinion, as wrong as it may be. He's had his cameo in every classic Muppet movie. And he's been in just about every modern era movie, too. He's in Muppets from Space, and he was in The Muppets, the latest one. And in The Muppets, he used explosives to replace a head of Mount Rushmore with his own head.
Yeah.
Now, here's the next question. Which president did he replace? Pretty much got a 25% shot at this, unless you don't know who the presidents on Mount Rushmore are.
Did he do Roosevelt? Was it Roosevelt that he replaced?
I'm waiting to see what you both answer before I answer.
I go with Washington.
Nope, you're both wrong. It was President Lincoln.
No one gets
that one. So, well, this scene actually led to something interesting. As far as I was concerned, there was a poll on one of the text sites. Not even text. This is more of an entertainment site, but it's spawned from the line of sites that are in the same family, including Gizmodo, but it was on io9.com. They had a poll, which was who defaced Mount Rushmore best, and it had a list of like 20 different comic book movies, TV shows, whatever, of defacements of Mount Rushmore, and Crazy Harry actually won. This scene actually won, and he was up against some big pop culture competitions like General Zod and Superman 2, the Mars Attacks scene, a scene from Futurama, and even the real-life Legoland Lego version of Mount Rushmore. But Crazy Harry won by a pretty good margin. I mean, everyone got some votes, but he won hands down. So that was pretty cool to see.
That is cool.
He was also featured in the promotion campaign of the Muppets. He got his own little spotlight at one of the endings of it. When you saw after you saw the clips of the show and you saw just the Muppets, the logo, the movie logo at the end, you know, for the most part, you had a Muppet pop up and say, like, coming to theater soon or November 23rd or Statler and Waldorf were talking about, like, don't see it or something. He actually came out and blew up the logo.
Yeah.
So, but this time he had a hard hat. So I guess he's taking safety a little more seriously in his older age. He wants to be around for the next one, too.
Maybe he got cited by OSHA.
Maybe that could be, too. Yeah. Disney's a lot stricter than Henson Company was with safety.
Yes.
So, all right. Another question here. You guys ready?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What former Trading Spaces personality did Crazy Harry share a TV moment with during the promotion of the movie The Muppets?
Ty Pennington?
You're right.
Yeah.
Ty Pennington. The Muppets were featured on an episode of Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Makeover. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And then during the 2011 media blitz for the movie, Harry was part of the crew. Specifically, he was part, if not only, the demolition crew.
Yep.
He came out with it. And this was odd. He came out in a flannel shirt. He didn't have his trademark green, military green shirt. And he didn't have the blue volunteer shirt with all the other Muppets had. I don't know why they put him in a flannel shirt. Flannel shirt with his little dynamite plunger, kaboom, and then he left, as usual. So that is the long and short. Crazy Harry's history. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's going to be Crazy Harry's future and anything else we see him in from now on.
Crazy Harry will not be delivering soliloquies.
No. Unless they're just in cackles.
Yes.
Which some of the later Shakespeare stuff might fit.
Yeah.
But, so going on to the behind the scenes. His original name as far as production and scripting was, and this is in the notes from the Valentine special, his name was actually Crazy Donald. And he was named after a man's name who has come up at least 3, if not 4 times so far in our series, Don Salen, once again. Because apparently Don Salen was particularly enjoyed building the Muppet explosive special effects. So now, looking at pictures of Don Stalin, it's not a physical resemblance. Apparently, it's just a personality resemblance because he does not look like him.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, that's true. No one should look like him except apparently Fidel Castro, if you ask me.
And the Amish Mafia.
Does he talk like him too?
I don't know. I haven't found any clips of. I haven't looked for any clips. I should. I bet you some of these behind the scenes specials online. I bet you there's some from the 70s. I might check that out one time, preferably at work. He was originally, we talked about this briefly, performed by Jerry Nelson up until 2003. Then he was picked up and is still performed by Matt Vogel. In 1988, when the cable channel TNT began airing reruns of The Muppet Show, they commissioned a Crazy Harry plush doll to be given out to all the network employees as part of an internal promotion / celebration. But the idea was dropped right as the Muppet Workshop was putting together the prototype. And that's too bad because the pictures of what they completed looked like this thing was going to be really cool. Did you guys see this? I don't know if I sent you the links for it or not.
No, mm-mm. But you say merchandise and I go, what?
Yeah, well, all they got done was the head. They didn't even get the eyes on. And I think a little bit of the beard, but it was like, it looked like the Muppet. I like the plushes. You have quite a few of the plushes. I like when they're as close to the Muppet as can be. And this looked like it was going to be pretty much dead on, but they canceled it. I don't know why. I don't know if it was a budget thing or if Ted Turner was mad at his TNT staff and decided they weren't going to get a nice little doll. I don't know. Or maybe they realized Crazy Harry might not be the one to celebrate with. I don't know. But that's too bad because it looked like it was going to be really neat and would be a really cool, you know, kind of a Muppet collector treasure hunt thing to be searching for now online or at conventions and stuff. But nope, it's just all it was this one head prototype that ever came out of it. What are you laughing at?
I just the thought of making a Crazy Harry plush just makes me laugh.
Yeah. Okay.
There's nothing cuddleable about him.
No, I guess, but that's part of the joke. So there was a Crazy Harry action figure in the second series of the Palisades figure line. So he's on one of the red cards, which you have.
Got it.
Of course, I checked it out. Comes with a plunger, of course.
Got it.
A dynamite plunger, not a toilet plunger. That would be odd. Yes. There was a Crazy Harry bust of part of the Sideshow Collectibles bust line as well, which we don't have any of those, and I'm not going to start collecting because they were expensive when they came out. They're even more expensive now when you're trying to hunt them down. There is a concept of a Crazy Harry Vinylmation online to be found, again, like the Marvin Suggs and the Manamana, but again, no confirmation on what this third line is going to be. I mean, Crazy Harry as good a choice as any of the other ones reported on. No idea. So, all right, last but not least, Karen, you can tie this trivia, and I think you could tie this trivia, because this is more of a NeoZaz trivia. This is a reward to our listeners that listen to all our shows. So you'd have to hear a show from another one of our series to get this. So here's the question. What Disney Hollywood Studios, formerly MGM Studios, attraction's main character was originally to be named Crazy Harry? Okay, apparently neither of you listen to any of my other shows, which I'm hurt now.
Say that question again, please.
What Disney Hollywood Studios attraction's main character was originally to be named Crazy Harry?
Oh, the little robot, the little, the driver, the pilot on Star Tours.
Yep, you're right.
Oh.
Yep. Yep, who the robot that was eventually named RX-24 for the original Star Tours was going to be named Crazy Harry in George Lucas's original version. He was going to be a gruff veteran of the Clone Wars. Now, this has absolutely nothing to do with the Muppets at all, other than the same name and the fact that we did do an episode about that robot RX-24 in our series Star Wars in Character. So that was fresh in my head when we did that. So that's it. For Crazy Harry, like I said, he's a one-trick pony, but he has some highlights here and there. So he's had a interesting career, and I'm sure we're going to see him again, because anytime you don't know how to end a scene, just blow it up. So as far as trivia goes, sorry, Karen. Christy beat you 4-2 out of the 6 questions I had.
I Crazy Harried you.
Yep, exactly.
Hey, I'd like to just kind of make a mention of one of my sources for Muppet information.
Okay.
Muppet Mindset on Blogspot and also on Facebook, mainly on Facebook, is trying to get to 3,000 likes. And they have got a ton of information about Muppets, especially about all the new stuff coming out. They're one of my main sources for information on the new Muppet movie that's coming out. And they're really, it's a really good site and a good informative Facebook site because there's always new stuff coming out. So if you get a chance and you're looking for any new kind of Muppet trivia, Muppet information, check it out. The Muppet Mindset is awesome.
Yeah, we talked about them before. They have a great blog, a huge set of articles on their main site, which is themuppetmindset.blogspot.com. And all these links will be in our show notes. But they're for, you know, instant information as it comes out, which is kind of... We do the same thing with all our podcasts too. Their Facebook page is you really want to, if you're going to check out one of these sites, definitely check out the Facebook page for sure, because that is constantly being updated. That's got, and like Christy said, yeah, Christy said it all. It's got some great information.
And it's run by Ryan Dozier, and he's just really a huge Muppet fan. And he's one of the people that has kept the torch burning so that, you know, during these times when we haven't had information, we haven't had information about anything new Muppet, it's just been great to have like a fan network that he unites everybody and gets everybody's information together. Yeah,
and I'm going to give him some credit for something right now that just is going to help out our episode, because I didn't think to look the Crazy Harry up on their episode. We had the question early on, was Crazy Harry performed by someone before Jerry Nelson? According to his site, an article on Crazy Harry, he was. He was performed by John Lovelady before Jerry Nelson for, I think that would be the first, the first season. Well, the first 3 years of the character, that's at least going to cover the first season of The Muppet Show, maybe the second season, because I'm not sure when production started on the second, but at least the first season of The Muppet Show, it was this John Lovelady before Jerry Nelson. So there you go. We got our answer. Again, Muppet Mindset's a great place to find this information.
Great.
All right. Well, with that, I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of Muppets in Character. Next week, it's Christy's turn again. Christy, who are we going to hear about next week?
I'm going to go to one of my favorites from Muppet Tonight, Dr. Phil Van Neuter.
All right. That'll be our first Muppets Tonight solo character. Or solely yep. Muppets solely, Tonight character, yep. I should say. Not soul character. That sounds like a 70s disco song. So, all right. Well, join us on our next episode when we discuss Dr. Phil Van Neuter.
Thanks for listening to Muppets in Character. The Muppets in Character podcast is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, visit www.neozaz.com. The Muppets in Character podcast is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Walt Disney Company. All Muppet characters, names, places, and Muppet-related events are copyright the Walt Disney Company or their respective trademark and copyright holders. For the latest Muppets and Character episodes and information, visit our website at www.mic.neozaz.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Muppets and Character.
Once again, here she is, taking her life into her own hands and throwing it away. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Jean Stapleton.
I'm just wild about Harry. Chocolate candy, and just like honey from the bee.